people possible listening to this show is breathtaking. I was talking with a big deal.
Possible.
Big deal radio guy who was talking about the number of people that have XM radios being, right. Whatever, 4 million, 5 million, the number of people having Sirius being 4 or 5 million,
right.
All together under 10 million. The number of people that have radios in the world, 1 billion. 1 billion people have radios.
And I'm sure they're all tuned into this
show. No, I never said that. I just said the possibility.
The potential.
The potential is breathtaking. You know, when you think about it, what is it? Is it a billion people on planet Earth that have never heard of the United States of America?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
It's about a billion people. And about a half a billion that never heard of Elvis. And we were over in China. And we went over about 200 clicks out of Beijing.
Right.
Like that military usage.
Yeah, nice.
200 clicks like that. And we were in...
You don't know
we
what they call it, do you?
No.
Click is fine.
Click is fine. Click is okay. Isn't it kilometers?
It's kilometers, yes.
Click. What's that? About six, so it's about...
About
six, so it's...
Point six.
So it's about 120
six
miles.
Six-tenths of a mile.
About 120 miles.
There you go.
Yeah. Out of Beijing.
Yeah.
That's where I was.
That's a long way out of Beijing.
Yeah, and it was freezing cold. It was the winter because our we were shooting, of course, a documentary on magic, which is good to go to the ends of the hell on Earth. And there was
and you
this
should go during the coldest season. That's a good idea.
It was really cold. And we had a van, and our van was, we had a bus-like thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was smashed in the snow. And Nate Santucci, who's running for a political office here in Vegas and also works for us, he got smashed into the back there. It was horrible. We were freezing cold. It was miserable. And today, the big subjects. Today, the big subjects are Hell's Angels versus Disney.
That's the big subject?
Hell's Angels versus Disney. I know it's just one little article I read, but I'd love people to call in. 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Talk about Hell's Angels and Disney. The Hell's Angels are threatening to sue Disney. I have had experience with both the Hell's Angels and with Disney.
Yeah.
And I'll be talking about those. But if you want to call in, the story is that Disney is planning this. It seems like the classic dopey movie. What's it called?
Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs.
Starring John Travolta and Tim Allen.
Oh, man. Could anything sound worse?
Are you okay?
Just
you almost
Wild
fell over.
Hogs. And they, the Hell's Angels folks are saying that they, that they're ripping off the Hell's Angels logo and trademark. Because probably in this Wild Hogs thing, you know, there's a scene where two guys, two basically okay guys, pretending to be wild mad cat. I mean, Disney, man, stick with a mouse. You know what I mean? Everything Disney does outside of just the stupid cartoons, I guess the theme parks are okay. I mean, my wife is just queer for the Disney theme parks. She just loves them. You know? And I used to like them okay.
I like them.
Yeah, I know. But I was what really soured me on Disney was when I went to Epcot last time. You know,
right. The experimental prototype City of Tomorrow.
Experimental prototype ship tomorrow.
Yes.
The idea for Epcot was Walt Disney had the idea that people would live from all around the world, live in this self-sustaining community with hydroponics. Hydroponics, what I always get most excited about, you know, grow food in a different way, agriculture. They'd really be experimenting with different ways of living. And now it's a fair. It's a carnival. They have rides, right?
It's not the community he was hoping for.
No, and I asked, I was there last time. We were doing something for Disney, so I was on some sort of VIP tour. And I asked the woman in charge, who can answer any questions on the experimental prototype.
Community of Tomorrow.
Community of Tomorrow. So I asked her why... good tea this morning. Why there was no experimental prototype City of Tomorrow. Why it was just... a few people from France putting you through a theme ride. And she said that Disney's ideas on this were not
crazy.
Practical.
He's a crazy man.
Oh, Disney's ideas on this were not practical,
oh, okay.
She said. and I did not approve of that kind of disrespect toward the founder. Because Disney's ideas, none of them were practical. Because he was a nut. So every idea he had was crazy. But he made it work. right?
Sure.
When he talked about Disneyland, Disney World, everybody thought he was bonkers.
Crazy man.
But it went through and it worked. So I think they should probably stick more to the blueprint of Disney. But now, and Disney would have never done this, they are now doing something that is angering the Hells Angels. Now, you know, my contact with the Hells Angels, we were playing in San Francisco with the Asparagus Valley Cultural Society, mm-hmm. which was the group that we had.
Experimental Cultural Society of Tomorrow, yes.
Experimental Cultural Society of Tomorrow. The Asparagus Valley Cultural Society was me, Teller, and another guy.
Uh-huh.
And we did a show in San Francisco. And there were lots of... it was just, you know, magic and the kind of stuff we do. And we had a lot... It was a small theater. But we had a lot of fans from the Hells Angels. Sonny Barger came to the show and stuff like that. So they would come to the show, and they were really very supportive of us. And I was always scared to death of them. Which is the way it should be. And there was a French restaurant down the street called Pipat's. There was this great French restaurant, and I used to eat in there almost every day after the show. Mm-hmm. And the proprietor was a friend of mine and so on. And there was another guy way through almost every show, and he was a Hells Angel, very high up in the Hells Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And one night we were both eating in there, and there was only one table, so we shared a table. And he said over dinner that he was a Hells Angels. And I said, just making conversation, pleasant thing to say, I said, that's funny. I would never believe you're a Hells Angel. Well, that turns out to be the wrong thing to say to a Hells Angel, because then he said in his French restaurant, well, you know, I can never deny being a Hells Angel, so now I have to do this. I said, do what? And he unzipped his leather jacket, I mean, his suit jacket, took off his suit jacket, and then he took off his tie and his vest and his shirt and his T-shirt. And now we're in a French restaurant, and I'm with a man who is stripped to the waist, showing me his Hells Angels tattoo on his back, and said, don't ever question me being a Hells Angel again. So my major solution to this was not to eat with him when I went in there. I was just too terrified. But I don't know why why Disney, who was so litigious... So incredibly litigious about everything. I mean, try putting their stupid mouse on anything, and they will sue your ass in a New York minute.
Right.
Would be so cavalier about someone else's trademark, and especially someone else who can kick their ass. You know? That's the thing about the Hells Angels. You know, we have pissed off a lot of magicians, but you would not catch Penn and Teller being stupid enough to piss off Hells Angels. If anything we do crosses over at all... we would stop it instantly. So I was there in the French restaurant, and I'm sitting with a man stripped to the waist in a nice French restaurant, and he put his clothes back on and paid for dinner. But paying for dinner was not the most important part. Not killing me.
Not stabbing you in the eye. I think.
I guess
that was the big favor. You should have bought his dinner.
So we were in China, and for those who think, and if anyone wants to call in. Hells Angels, Disney, Life in Outer Space are the two subjects I'm most interested in. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. I've got more to say about China, but, you know, I'm going to be on the air for a while, so I can always do that later. We got a call you want to take? You were kind of waving your arms.
We have a call on line 5.
Let's take a call, sure.
We have a call on line 5. This is Mark.
Hey, boss.
Hello.
You there, Mark?
Mark's a long way from the phone.
What's up, Mark?
No, I'm Bart.
Bart, forgive me.
Bart from New York. I can barely hear you. Do you have a good connection? Can you hear me?
We can hear you well. Can you hear us?
Yeah, is this Penn and Teller?
Oh, this is Penn, yeah.
Hey, Penn. I just want to tell you from the Third Street crew in Manhattan
that
the Hells Angels is a copyrighted logo.
It absolutely is.
Nobody has anything to fear from the Hells Angels. You do not read about us selling drugs to your kids. You do not hear about us driving into your neighborhood, shooting up your neighborhood in drive-bys.
Right.
That's the Crips and the Bloods. The Hells Angels is a motorcycle organization which is devoted to motorcycle enthusiasts. It is not a criminal organization, and you have nothing to fear from us.
Right, no, I was talking.
We're just
regular
guys like anybody else who just enjoy motorcycles and Harley-Davidsons.
I don't know if you heard what I was saying. I was defending y'all in Disney using the logos in this movie they're working on.
No, I heard that.
Yeah.
But you said that you offended somebody in a restaurant and he represented.
Oh, no, no, no. I didn't say I offended. I mean, I questioned him.
You know, there's many misconceptions that base back to Hunter S. Thompson's book. Okay?
Now,
let me tell you something. The Hells Angels is not a criminal organization. It is an organization of motorcycle enthusiasts who enjoy riding together. There is absolutely nothing to fear. I mean, you don't read about us or hear about us in the TV or the media or anything else, you know, driving through anybody's neighborhood and shooting up your neighborhood and trying to get your children hooked on drugs for our profit.
That's true.
We're just a club of motorcycle enthusiasts who enjoy socializing with like-minded people. That's all. That's all we ever have been.
You don't agree with the Hunter Thompson book at all, then?
Let me tell you something. Hunter Thompson hung out with Sonny Barger and the guys from Oakland under pretense of trying to write an unbiased book based on an era of time back in the 60s, which was a completely different social aspect of what is, you know, today.
So he got himself into
a little bit of trouble with somebody by getting his nose involved in a personal situation between an angel and his wife.
Uh-huh.
You got to understand, an angel is never wrong when it comes to outsiders.
Uh-huh.
And Hunter got himself into a situation and he misconstrued it. And this was back during a time of social ignorance where, you know, the FBI and people were just looking for somebody to point the finger at the hippie generation, and that was not us.
Right. Well, so you're saying there's been a big change since, like, for instance, Altamont. Is that right?
Well, I mean, Altamont was a situation where the Hells Angels was paid to run security for a concert the Hells Angels were paid to run security for a concert for the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
A man pulled out a gun and threatened the Rolling Stones. The
mm-hmm.
Hells Angels, in defense of their own safety and the safety of the band, took action. Now, for either litigious reasons or whatever the fact it may be, the Rolling Stones chose to turn their backs on the Hells Angels.
Uh-huh.
All that urban myth about, you know, the Hells Angels got something from Mick Jagger, that's urban myth. Trust me, if the Angels wanted Mick Jagger, well, something would have happened by now. That's yesterday's news. I mean,
we're
grown adults here.
Right.
We are nothing more than an organization of bikers who are motorcycle enthusiasts who
right.
do, I mean, okay, let's keep it real here, all right? We like strip bars.
No doubt
and
about
we
that.
We like partying, and we like a good time. But for the most part, we just want to be left alone to do our own thing amongst ourselves without bothering anybody.
Well, you know, I lived in lower Manhattan on the right near Third Street. And I'll tell you, it was the safest street in the whole city.
Oh, hell yeah. Make no doubt about that. Ain't no crack dealers on our block.
No, there was nothing. You can walk by there
anytime you want, Penn. And rest assured, brother man, hey, nothing going to happen to it. If I just go ahead and just park it across the street from the bikes, we got an associate out there looking after the bikes. Just say, hey, you know, I'm with Sandy and the boys. Hey, no problem.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you so much for calling up, Bart. Thank you.
And, hey, thank you for keeping it real.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you so
Later.
Much. Thank you. It's amazing. His points were just that motorcycle enthusiast. And I wanted to ask him this, but I backed down from it because I think it's too rhetorical a question to ask an individual. But when they say, and this is my question about all motorcycle clubs, and I'm not talking about the classic image of Marlon Brando in movies, and I'm not talking about the Altamont or anything like that. I'm talking about the guys on Sunday that have motorcycle clubs here in Vegas.
Right, sure.
They have the different names. They have the vests. They do. What do they do? What do they do?
Drive around in circles.
I mean, but is that all you do when you're a motorcycle club? Is you just drive around? When he says
I
motorcycle enthusiast.
I bet they're not having pancake breakfast. I bet they're not having pancake breakfast.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
See, I just don't know what. This is always my question of what bikers are supposed to do. Let's say, you know, that the Hells Angels have divested themselves of any criminal activity and they have a clubhouse and everything. What do you do if you're a motorcycle enthusiast in New York City? I guess it's more you hang out with other like-minded people. But after a while, and this is my problem not with the Hells Angels, this is my problem with all clubs. Because I just don't know what, you know, the Rotary Club does some charity, has some lunches, but right. I guess I've never been much of a joiner. I just don't get that. You know, and I guess, you know, every year they go to Sturgis, you know?
Right.
You get to drive across the country and go to, why you would go to South Dakota? Is that where Sturgis is? South Dakota? Why on earth anyone would go to South Dakota? But the reason they go there is that other motorcycle enthusiasts are there. You know, I was at the Harley-Davidson 90th. Anniversary,
sure.
Which I guess would have been in the 90s,
right.
I guess.
Out there in Wisconsin?
Yeah. And I was there with, it was a nutty group of people. It was, I was there with Billy Gibbons,
mm-hmm.
Paul Provenza, Bobcat Goldthwait. It was an odd combination. And it was a great meeting of people. I mean, if you want good-looking, interesting-looking people, it's really hard to beat motorcycle enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I loved about Bart's call was that he used the word enthusiast, which is one of my favorite words, motorcycle enthusiasts. And I think from now on, it'll be very hard to get me to say Hell's Angels without saying afterwards motorcycle enthusiasts. The Hell's Angels motorcycle enthusiasts. That certainly covered that from, I think, about five ways from Friday, didn't it?
You think?
I think it did cover it pretty well. I don't think anyone's going to answer Bart. If someone wants to call in and speak from Disney's point of view.
Yeah, no one has represented Disney.
No one's representing Disney. I don't know how you would. I mean, I guess the only argument you can make, if I want to be devil's advocate here, the only argument you can make is that the Hell's Angels are so well known that somehow their logo has fallen into public domain. But if you're going to make that logic, then certainly that goddamn mouse, Mickey Mouse, certainly has fallen into public domain. Mickey Mouse goes back further than the Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels start, I think, by most reports. There's a lot of discussion over where the name came from, but by most reports, started in World War II.
Fontana, California,
yeah. 1948. Yeah, 48.
Yep.
And the Mickey Mouse goes back to what? That's the 20s, isn't it? 28 or something?
I don't know. I don't have that one. Sorry.
So I don't see how. And probably this is just the media trying to get a good grudge match going, because it would be so good to see Mickey Mouse and Sonny Barger naked in a cell fighting to the death. But there you go. There's the, we had, but you know the excitement of this? 1 billion radios that could be listening to Free FM. 1 billion radios. One of those radios on 3rd Street, New York City. We were talking to Bart, a real honest to goodness Hell's
Pretty
Angel.
Cool.
And I'm going through everything else I said to make sure I didn't say anything wrong. I want to also say that the guy who took his clothes off
right.
in the French restaurant was a nice fellow and always treated
Bought
us really,
dinner.
Really well. And I have another story to tell about them, which I think is inappropriate. But I'll think about it during this break and maybe come back and tell it. Hell's Angels, Disney, extraterrestrial life for our subjects today. Give a call after this, 866-313-FREE, penradio@gmail.com. You know, I keep having this fear that they're going to use the clip of Richie Havens at Woodstock going, freedom, freedom, freedom. He does that like three-syllable version of freedom, freedom. That'll be one of the logos eventually. It'll be that.
Freedom.
We had a Hell's Angels motorcycle enthusiast call in. That was pretty exciting. And we're talking about the Disney thing. You know, the Disney copyright has been extended longer than it was allowed originally, legally, before going into public domain. They're just going to keep that mouse alive by artificial means forever. But, of course, you know, in a story like that, you don't know what's happening. Maybe the Tim Allen... I was just going to say something that was so deeply wrong, even too deeply wrong, even too deeply wrong for Free FM. I was almost going to say a Tim Allen, John Travolta motorcycle movie called Wild Hogs doesn't necessarily have to be bad. But I think even at Free FM, you have to draw some lines. You can't just say anything that pops into your
head. It is animated. We won't actually have to see John Travolta or Tim Allen.
Oh, it's animated.
I believe it's animated.
Oh, that makes it a lot better. Makes it a lot better. Yeah,
I think.
The reason is I never see animated movies, so that's a big plus for me. The last animated movie I saw, I think, was Toy Story,
okay.
Which I'm in.
Right, yeah.
So I went to the premiere.
Aren't you doing a new one? Aren't you doing another?
I've done a few. I'm also on, I never saw this, but on House of Mouse, I am evil Pluto. You know, Pluto is Mickey's dog. He's a mouse with a pet dog.
Yeah.
And he has an evil Pluto, devil Pluto that sits on one shoulder, and an angel Pluto that sits on the other.
Right.
And the angel Pluto is Eric Idle saying, oh, he loves you, he loves you, he's great. And then I'm the one that says, kill Mickey Mouse, or the equivalent in a kid's show.
I may have seen that.
Yeah. And I also did another one, Handy Manny, which will be coming out, another Disney. Mm-hmm. So I am a Disney voice. And I had a wonderful experience. I went in to do the evil Pluto, devil Pluto, I guess it is. I wanted to do the devil Pluto, and it was at a studio that was doing a lot of Disney stuff.
Right.
So I was with a lot of the people who did Disney voices, and I was with Snow White. And Snow White is this wonderful woman, I guess, in her probably late 50s, kind of very matronly.
Right.
And she does the Snow White voice. It's her voice.
Right.
All the Snow White stuff. And so I was sitting talking politics with Snow White and then a couple of the guys who do other voices. I guess Mickey wasn't there. But
right.
Some of the other guys
here.
We're talking about politics. And this will tell you when it was. She was talking about Tipper Gore. And she said, what is Tipper Gore? What kind of name is Tipper? She was going on about as Snow White.
Sure.
Because that's her voice.
That's her voice.
Having her do Snow White is like Gilbert doing the parrot. They just sound like it all the time. And all these people were sitting around. And she said, what kind of name is, I'm trying to do Snow White.
That was pretty close too.
What kind of name is Tipper? And I said, that's because she doesn't want to use her real name. Right?
Yeah, sure.
And she said, what's her real name? And then I used the worst obscenity possible.
That's a good setup for a joke, really.
The worst obscenity possible. It's the C-bomb.
Sure.
I dropped the C-bomb on her as Tipper Gore's real first name. And the other people in the room, all these Disney workers, were rather shocked and appalled at my using that language in front of Snow White. And then there was a pause, and that wonderful moment. I mean, the best moments in life are when you cross a line really big.
Right.
Then there's that moment where the ball's in the air. You have no idea where it's going. Just kind of sliding there, hanging there. Just a moment. Everybody's like backing away. And then Snow White starts giggling. And I mean, this deep, wonderful giggle. And she just starts laughing and laughing and laughing. Clearly, Snow White was a Republican. And clearly, Snow White loved hearing that word to describe Tipper Gore. And then I got pulled into a world that I was not ready for. Because then Snow White loosened up a lot. Maybe too much. And Snow White started talking dirty to me. Okay, so this matronly woman in her late 50s, sitting there very librarian dressed, is now going, oh, you seven men want to do what with me? Oh, you're a dwarf. And she's going on and on and on, and she's got all this shtickla, you know, all this like, and I don't know what she used this for, you know, or I don't know if I just unlocked the floodgates, and all of a sudden I'm sitting in, you know, in a Burbank studio waiting room with Snow White just talking dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And it was that moment when I was so happy and thrilled with my life. And I just loved it. I just, you know, all I care about in the world is alien subcultures, you know?
Right.
I just love people who are obsessed with things that I know nothing about. So whether it's talking to Bart, who's a Hell's Angel motorcycle enthusiast, who I don't know anything about, or whether it's this woman, it's awful that I don't know her name. Probably better that I don't.
Let's keep it.
I will stress to the Disney people that we were talking, it was just the two of us. Off the record, she was not representing herself as Snow White, and she wasn't even doing the voice. It's like people go up to Gilbert Gottfried and go, do the parrot voice, Gilbert. And he goes, what do you mean, do the parrot voice? The parrot
voice is the voice that I do. That's the only voice I know how to do is the parrot voice. That's the voice. Oh, do the parrot, Gilbert. Well, that's the voice I do. I do the parrot. I do Gilbert. That's what I do. I do the parrot voice.
And it was exactly the same with Snow White, in that she lived the parrot voice, which means if you would some way got yourself involved in a sexual situation with this woman playing Snow White, that's what you would get in bed. It was like when I, for a while, I dated an Israeli.
And these are closely related stories.
This is a very close related story.
Okay.
I dated an Israeli who was in our country illegally and was part of probably paramilitary organizations. And we were in bed once, and in a sexual context, she laughing hysterically. It was like referring to my penis seriously, and sex started laughing. And she said in her heavy Israeli accent, well, I've heard you use a lot of Yiddish. You know, I thought you knew what schmuck meant. And I said to her, well, yeah, I do know what schmuck meant. I learned it from Lenny Bruce. You know, when they accused him of using the, he drove all the way to Jersey. So it was so startling to hear a word that I knew what it meant, but I'd never ever heard it used sexually, ever. As a matter of fact, I'd thought it was never used sexually, but of course all the words that we use for penis that are used, the producer's holding his hands up,
waving his arms,
you all know what those back words up are. Those words are used to mean the other thing too. You know, people said Dick Nixon all the time, and they did it without even a spin on there. You know, you could do that. Dan Rowan and Dick Martin, you could say that. It was fine, and but still, people use it in the sexual context. So I got if I die, and I'm going to die fairly soon, good up. And they talk to you. My wife may talk to you about the gravestone, and you're trying to think about what to put on my obituaries, my biggest accomplishments.
Right.
You know, you certainly want to put the inventor,
right? Sure.
Which I'll talk about some other time. And you also want to put on there, without a doubt, he got Snow White to talk dirty.
Okay.
And all it took was dropping the C-bomb when talking about Tipper Gore while doing the Pluto thing.
So you're planning on having a really large headstone, is what you're telling me.
Maybe
here.
Only those two things. Maybe just the Jill Jett and getting Snow White.
But explaining the Snow White thing.
No, I think everybody will know instantly. He got Snow White.
Billion people listening.
Billion people who could be listening.
We'll all
know. We don't know. And the other thing is, we're not on in L.A., and I think that I hope that I'm not violating some sort of trust by telling that story. If you do know anybody at Disney or something, don't tell them about the Snow White story. I don't want them to yell at her. We got a lot more show coming up. 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. A lot more show coming up, but I want to tell you that this rest of this week is going to be hellacious. It's going to be just groovish beyond belief. Tomorrow, we are going to have Todd Robbins on the show, who is geek extraordinaire.
Famous.
We'll get him to talk about eating glass and swallowing swords, and he knows more about the history of show business than anyone you've ever met. Todd Robbins will be here tomorrow. Terrific. And then on the set of Bull's Hit, tomorrow afternoon, we have Gilbert Gottfried. And we're going to do a very special episode of the Penn Jillette Show. Very special, in that we are going to tape a full show with Gilbert Gottfried fresh. You'll see what it's like. It'll also be Gilbert Gottfried, funniest man in the world. And then follow that carrot top on Thursday. We're going to follow Gilbert Gottfried with Carrot Top. Going to do a whole show with Carrot Top. We'll talk about steroids. We'll talk about people who like Carrot Top, people who hate Carrot Top. I'm going to push Carrot Top really hard on why he's become the punchline of so many jokes.
Sure.
I want to ask him outright, why do comics hate you? So that's the rest of the week. And then Friday we'll be back doing the regular things, the two of us. But come back right now after this commercial break. Talk about life in space. Hells Angels, Disney, all those topics are open. PennRadio@gmail.com, 866-313-3. FM. This is Penn Jillette, and River pops into his hand. With Michael Goudeau here. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Call in any subject you want, but the two we've covered so far are Hells Angels Motorcycle Enthusiasts versus Disney Incorporated. You can also write into PennRadio@gmail.com. We also want to talk about life in outer space, extraterrestrial life. Those are the major subjects we're covering, but call them with something else if you want. We get off on kind of a Disney jag. Excuse me, I got a little bit of a catch in my throat. A study by the Project for Excellence in Journalism has found that fewer news stories are covered in any real depth. A spokesman refused to elaborate. That's that whole story. Someone wrote in and said that Mickey and Minnie Mouse, the voices
yeah.
of Mickey and Minnie Mouse, were in real life married, which is creepy. That's really creepy.
That's some bedroom talk you don't want to be around.
Exactly.
You know, I like cartoon sex, but that might be more than I can take.
No. There's a great punchline. No, I said she was goofy. I guess there's no way to say. I said she was effing goofy. Isn't that the way you'd say it on the radio or something? I was. You know, we got some Gmails that said that my last little hunk about the Israeli had a lot of stuff taken out of it, snipped
yes,
out of
apparently.
It. And I wasn't aware that as far as the FCC is concerned, Lenny Bruce lived in vain. I mean, I thought he made that argument. But, of course, if Lenny Bruce had made the argument for that word, the S-C-H-M word, I'll spell the whole thing. That'll help. If you made that argument, his argument was it did not mean penis. That was his argument. And my argument was exactly the opposite. I was saying that it did mean that. So I guess if you were going to chop anything out for taste, I would have been the one to chop out. But the person also said that they understood the crux of the story. My wife points out that moment I talked about, that moment of just the ball is in the air. You have no idea where it's going to land. You just don't know. You've just dropped the most major obscenity right in the face of a woman who plays Snow White and is matronly. And there's that glorious moment where time slows down. I think to many people, that would be a moment of pure abject fear. But after I had done one of these things and deeply insulted someone very powerful, he asked me afterwards, if you could go back in time to take back what you said, would you do that? And I said, yes, I'd take it back, but then I'd have to say it again to see what happened. It was exactly that same thing. I just knew that I had to find out what would happen if you used that much obscenity in front of Snow White. I had to know. And there was another occasion that happened in Chicago. I was on the radio station there, Steve Dahl's radio station. I'm having to take a lot of sips of tea today because I have a little catch in my throat.
Well, that's good because you don't have much talking to do this week, do you?
No. Just the Bulls hit show and the Penn and Teller show in the evening. So I was on CKG, and I was on with Tony Fitzpatrick, an evening show. And we had on as a guest, she was on the phone. She was a guest on the phone. And she was the head of a safe house in Chicago that takes women who are victims of domestic abuse and puts them somewhere safe so that the perps can't get to them. Women and children who are beaten by the people who should be caring for them. That was her subject. And the woman herself that was in charge of this project was a lawyer and had become a lawyer because I believe she saw her father beat her mother to death in front of her. I realize that's redundant, saw it in front of her, but I don't think you can lean on it too much. She watched her father beat her mother to death when she was a young kid and grew up. So we're doing this interview, and it is very, very heavy. And it's going on for a while, and it's just about how the horrors of domestic abuse, which, of course, everybody agrees with, you know, you have to stop domestic abuse, there's no doubt. But somewhere in my little sick ant brain, I thought that it should be lightened up a little bit. Right? So she's talking on and on and on, and she's talking about these women and how badly beaten their faces are and how she remembers from being a kid. And then they were doing something incredibly heroic, like some people in organized crime had been beating their wives, and these people were protecting them in a safe house from mobsters. So it's just, it's an amazing subject. And I say to her, I used to work in an organization. And she said, oh, yes? I said, yeah, I worked in an organization called Tempura House. And there's a pause, and I go, it was for lightly battered women.
And that didn't go well?
Well, no, that's the whole point here. Just let it go. It just soared into the air. As I said, Tempura House for lightly battered women. And it's over the phone, so you can't see her face. Just floating in the air. And Tony, who's, you know, heavy-duty guy, used to be a heavyweight boxer, right? Used to be a really heavy cat, pulls his headphones off and is looking around like he can run somewhere. And the engineer and the board op, who are in the other room through the glass, he's got his hands on all the pots. He's ready to just pull down all the volume because he wants to stop what I've said. And he's just trembling. And the producer is just shaking his head no. Like, no, no, no. But it's all happened. And it's like a car crash coming around the corner. And there's that wonderful light moment where just what I've just said is in the air. And where's it going? Float, 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 float. Longer than that. Float, float, nothing on the other side. Nothing. And then a laugh from heaven. Just this full-bodied female laugh on the other side of the phone, laughing her ass off. Uncontrollable laughing. And, of course, as soon as she starts laughing, I get to giggling, which I sometimes do. So I'm doing my Wicked Witch of the West guffaw, and Tony, who's taking his headphones off in fear, kind of puts them back on, and you hear Tony going, and all of a sudden, you know, the engineer and the producer are applauding. They're like, woo! In the other room. And she starts laughing and laughing and laughing. And then she goes right back into it. And then at the end of that, invited me out to lunch the next day. Now, I have to say, in fairness about the story, that Tempura House for lightly battered women is not my joke. It's a joke that I heard Alex Bennett tell on his radio station in San Francisco one day that I was on. He said he'd worked at Tempura House for lightly battered women in a different context. I had it there filed away, and I ended up having lunch with her the next day. We talked on the phone. We hung out a little bit. She was just this terrific, full, wonderful sense of humor woman who I just adored. And I just think that that's an important lesson to learn, that no matter how serious someone is, if you do a joke, no matter how bad a taste, if that joke is done with underlying love, there was no meanness involved in that joke. It was just like, you know, can we have a little laugh in here? So I told that story to Paul Provenza, and Paul Provenza said, whatever you learned from that story, Penn, is wrong. You just lucked out. That was the end of your life. That story to me is someone telling the story about how they got completely drunk and then drove home at 90 miles an hour. It's not saying that the decision was smart because they got home alive. It's saying they just happened to be lucky. What happened was you won the joke lottery and now you think that's your lucky number that you cannot lose. So that is the story of Tempura House. Are there any calls you want to take? Anything on the subject? I mean, not on Tempura House, but anything on the subject you want to take, or
there,
Gmail?
There is a Gmail from your wife, and she says that story made her want to marry you. That was the moment in her life, apparently, that turned it around.
Well, you know, I think, does that say everything?
Hopeless romantic that she is.
That says everything. Tempura House.
You know, I bet the lady's probably doing her own version of that joke now.
She might be. She might be. It'd be pretty cool.
She's using it in speeches.
Tony knows her name, and I'm sure everybody in Chicago knows her name. I have it somewhere on my computer, but you know I'm terrible with names. No disrespect. I'm just It's not that I don't have a good memory. I have an excellent memory. It's just that I don't care about other people. So the names just go away very quickly. Now, there is water very likely on Mars.
Yes.
There's water very likely on Saturn. There's these huge ice crystals shooting up like a frozen geyser, like Old Faithful's erupting on what moon is it of Saturn?
Enceladus.
Enceladus. Where's that name come from? Do you know?
It's a Greek god.
Greek god?
Yeah.
There's water. And where there's water and very common carbon and other things, there could very easily be life. And then this is one of the cases. In extraterrestrial life, I want to say that I believe that both sides are incredibly stupid. The side that says that only life can only exist on Earth. The side that says Genesis. And I wish the religious people would go out on a limb here and say, God created life on Earth. That's the end of it. He didn't create life anywhere else. So that if and when we find life somewhere else, we can just say, shut up. Of course, that never works. They said the Earth was the center of the universe. We proved that wrong. That didn't help. It's always a God of margins. They're idiots, that say. The other people that are idiots that say that there must be life kind of, sort of, like us on other planets. The idea of SETI, you know, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, putting the microphones up to try to catch anything, is a fine idea, but it postulates such a very, very specific thing. The most successful form of life on Earth is not even close to human. I mean, human is not even close, right?
No.
Cockroaches, ants.
Ants are the big winners.
In every way.
Every way.
But cockroaches were being around for a long time with no changes, right?
Yeah, spiders too.
Plants.
Sharks.
Plants, plankton,
yeah.
Algae, all that stuff.
Much more successful than us.
Much more successful. And by successful, you mean just being able to reproduce.
Sure.
Being here for a long time. So the weird kind of coincidences that make an organism not only reproduce, but also use its 3D vision that it developed to be able to pick fruit, to kind of develop into a consciousness, to kind of have a wonder about the universe, to kind of want to communicate, the idea of communicating, all that stuff is a million zillion miles from life. So what we're going to find out, this is a prediction, I'll make it just like Sylvia Brown, and I'll stick to it. My prediction is that we will find that it is possible that at some time there was a small amount of something like DNA, some sort of carbon-based self-replicating
viruses.
Life form, virus, something like that. We will find that, but we're not going to find ET. We're not going to find anything that's even close to sentient in the way we are. Imagine that on this moon there's all whales, you know? Whales, people talk about how smart they are. I don't believe it, but they talk about how smart they are. To me, they're just big blubberheads, but they talk about how smart they are. No communication outside of whales, you know? They communicate with whales outside of whales.
Sure.
It took us forever to realize that whales are communicating with each other and to be able to communicate back and forth with whales. They're on the same planet. They're based on the same stuff. They're evolutionarily in the same chain. So I don't think we're going to get any of that. But we'll get to this later. We're wrapping up again. When you talk about Hell's Angels, motorcycle enthusiasts, you talk about Disney talking dirty to Snow White and Israelis, it's hard to have time left over for life on Saturn and Mars. Tomorrow, we're going to have the great and wondrous Todd Robbins talking about being a geek and doing Carney. Wednesday will be Gilbert Gottfried with a report from the set of Bull's Hit. Thursday will be Carrot Top for the whole hour, and then Friday will just be Udo and me back here. We love you. Keep it friendly.